The scripture readings all involve death and provide us with opportunities for a proper perspective. As a priest, I'm around death all the time, and I hate death. I hate what it does to me. I hate the sadness that it causes. I hate its reverberations that can make things for all of us so blasted hard. The God who created us in the beginning never intended death to be here. Death is a result of sin. And for as much as I hate death, God hates death more. So very much does God hate death that God chose to do something about it. He appeared upon the human stage, fully human, fully divine, one like us in all things but sin, in order that death would never have the last word. The love of God is stronger than death. He trampled death, he triumphed over it, and he did so expressly for us and for our salvation. He has done something about it. And while Jesus taught, as we hear in today's gospel, Jesus did not come to teach. And while he did miracles like we hear in today's gospel, Jesus did not come to do miracles. Jesus came to die and to rise so that you and I could reach the end for which God has made us. He came and he lived and he suffered and he died and he rose so that we could come to experience the fullness of life for which we've been made. The fullness of love for which we've been made. The biblical perspective and the perspective of the Christian faith is that we are immortals walking through time. That our God has created us for eternity. Friends, we're made for so much more than just this. But it's hard sometimes to have that understanding. Heaven is not something that's less than this. It's so indescribably more. And if the ones we love who have been taken from our sight are in heaven, if the ones whom we love are our home, are basking in this perfect love for all eternity, that they're finally experiencing this life and this love for which they truly have been made, if that's where they are, but how can I be angry? If they finally are in the place where they are beholding the face of God, how can I be angry? If that's where they are, love would not call them back. If love is wanting what truly is best for my beloved, I can't want to take them away from that from which they've been made. That would be selfish. And by the way, I get that. I get that too clearly because I am incredibly selfish. And so we cry. We cry for them. I cry for myself. We cry for each other. But as Christians, our tears flow with real hope that is not based in some kind of wishful thinking. Our tears are based on what God has done for us. Our tears are based on what Jesus has accomplished for us. Of course we miss him greatly. Of course we do. And of course we cry. We're made for God, but we're also made for others. Heaven will not just be staring for all eternity upon God. In heaven, for all eternity, we will together be experiencing so much more than this. It's beyond our imaginations. I mean, given the masterpieces that God has given to us in spouses, in children, in siblings, in friends, of course we miss them deeply. And we will see them again. We will be with them again. Ask the author of life. Ask the Lord of life. Ask him to speak to you, to help you understand that the great big crucifix that is affixed here in the back of the sanctuary, that it is a reminder for us of God having done something to conquer death. It's a reminder to us of a promise fulfilled, the fullness of life for which we've been made, a bringing home our beloved ones. And while we understandably cry and even must cry, given who we are, we do so with hope and we do so with confidence that one day we shall feast our own eyes upon the Almighty Lord and we will see them again. You know, when we come to Mass, there's no place that we are closer to those whom we have loved and have gone before us. There's only one Mass. It happens in heaven, and we participate in the one great eternal offering of the Son to the Father in the Spirit. And the whole church is there, all the saints, all the angels, all the souls in purgatory, however that works out. When we walk into this church for Mass, we actually walk into heaven. Mass is a moment. It's just a brief glimpse. But it is a real encounter with heaven, which reaches down to give us a privileged moment. You know, I have to say that that was pious sentiment for me for too many years. But Mass isn't something you go to. You go shopping. You go to the park. You go to the game. You go to the concert. Mass is an encounter with God and the eternal ones. The cloud of witnesses. The communion of saints. As real as we are, even though mysterious. And when the Eucharist is elevated during the Mass, we look upon it, and it appears to be bread, but we know it isn't, but it appears to be so. But the holy ones who are present, they see the Lord perfectly. They see the Lord completely. They see the Lord entirely. And they see the Lord joyfully. And somehow, all of our eyes in this moment of God's great design meet him. And he reunites us. And there are some here, not all, but there are some who know exactly what I'm saying because you have experienced that encounter, which is real. It's not imaginary. Friends, death can't end friendship, even though it feels that way at times. It does not extinguish love, even though it can feel that way at times. Death isn't that powerful. God has broken death. God has severed death by his own death and resurrection. We have a God who hates death. That's why he came. And if our beloved ones are not quite there yet, we pray for them and we help them to get there. How does it all work? I don't know the supernatural calculus, but I know that it's real. And I know that our prayers are rooting them on to the perfect perpetual encounter with the Lord, rooting them on the way to God. And if they're already there, those prayers aren't wasted because they're praying for us in return. They're actively intervening. They're trying to change our outcome here on earth by praying for us, and they do so by name. They do so with intimacy and passion and love. This is the communion of saints. This is the cloud of witnesses. It's not a concept. It is a reality. They know how hard it is for us, and they want nothing more than for us to know the searing love of God that they know to be perfectly true. And they want that for us. With death, life is changed. It's not ended. The saints in heaven are, they're so entirely more alive than we are. We think we have such perspective. For those of us who remember, I mean, we're nothing more than the old grainy TV set with the rabbit ears that you can barely see the picture, even though we act like we're HD. Jesus has killed death. The author of life and the Lord of life has killed death. This is our hope and our confidence. All the while we cry and we mourn as our perspective is imperfect. But the reality is death loses. God wins. And we win. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. And may the souls of all of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.